Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're talking about felonies versus misdemeanors versus civil infractions, and I apologize. Longtime listeners of my show will recognize the fact that my voice sounds a little off. I am just getting over a very bad cold, so if I can make it through the podcast without hacking and coughing, I hope so. If not, you might see some bad edits. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm feeling better today. Yesterday was probably the peak. The day before, I had a sore throat so bad I could barely speak, but we're talking about the differences between the crimes, and I get asked this a lot by people who say, you know, what's the difference between a felony versus a misdemeanor or a civil infraction? And so I've decided to talk about this. Now, here's the thing. What I'm talking about here specifically is going to be how it's done in Michigan, but most states or commonwealths follow this relatively the same way, although their breakpoints might be different. But when I talk about a felony, that's the worst crime you can commit with the most severe penalties. The misdemeanor is below that in terms of the length of time you can spend in prison or the fines you can be assessed. And then, of course, the civil infractions are below that. So we're going to talk about those three things. Know that in your state, chances are felonies are up here, misdemeanors are here, civil infractions are down here. It's just exactly where those lines and definitions are might move around a little bit. Most of this stuff goes way, way back in our common law, though, especially the misdemeanors and felonies distinctions. So, the simplest definition I could find is that in Michigan, felonies are serious crimes that are punishable by more than 1 year in prison. Believe it or not, the prison thing makes a difference. Michigan law categorizes felonies into classes. They have a Class A felony through a Class H felony. Excuse me. And Class A felonies are the most serious felony crimes in Michigan. And then we also have what are called high court misdemeanors. So a high court misdemeanor... It's not a felony, but it's worse than a typical misdemeanor. So, for instance, a Class A felony is punishable by up to life in prison. First-degree murder, okay? Michigan does not have the death penalty, hasn't had it for many, many years. it could also include assault with a deadly weapon with intent to rob or steal. And then as you go down the list, like a Class D felony is larceny, property valued at $20,000 or more, embezzlement of property valued at $20,000 or more, or human trafficking. And then a Class H felony includes using a stolen state ID card to commit a felony or a false representation to obtain or misuse personal information. So there's felonies, okay? And the more severe felonies are the ones where you face more time in prison and higher fines, and then it kind of slides down the scale as you go down the spectrum of felonies. Now, at the very end of that, you have misdemeanors, okay? So below the Class H felony, you go into misdemeanors. And now misdemeanors, generally speaking, fall into different categories also. And you have things called high court misdemeanors. And this is actually something, I've never encountered this. I don't do a ton of criminal work. Most of what I do is Lemon Law, which is civil work. And I do handle some traffic cases, which is criminal in nature. But I've never dealt with a high court misdemeanor. But a high court misdemeanor is punishable by up to 2 years in prison or a fine of up to $2,000 or both. And a high court misdemeanor might include indecent exposure or negligent homicide by vehicle. So those are considered misdemeanors. And by the way, in case you're curious, you might say, Steve, why do they have these distinctions between misdemeanors and felonies? And quite often, the distinction is, they in the old days, I think in particular, were talking about what your state of mind was when you committed a crime, okay? In other words, these crimes aren't accidents. These are things that people set out to do. And so if you set out to do something very, very serious, like a felony, that was something that, yeah, you're going to go to prison for at least a year. If you committed a lesser crime where your mindset wasn't quite as evil, And I honestly think that's where it came from originally. If you go way, way back, it's all about the mindset. So I could be wrong, but then again, I'm also sick right now. So we talked about high court misdemeanors. Then there are misdemeanors punishable by up to a year in jail. Up to a year in jail. Now notice I see the word jail, and there is a distinction. If you get sentenced to prison, that's a much more serious thing. Jail is usually a less severe punishment. A court can sentence a person convicted of this misdemeanor to jail or impose a fine of up to $1,000 or both. Misdemeanors punishable by up to a year in jail in Michigan include larceny, property valued at $200 or more but less than $1,000, retail fraud in the second degree, such as shoplifting, and intentional discharge of a firearm but without intent to injure. You know, that's the one thing about the legal system that I admit is kind of funny, is the fact that we have to have all these distinctions for different crimes. Intentional discharge of a firearm, but without intent to injure. I know there are situations where that'd be wrong, but the point is they had to outlaw it because it was obviously a problem of some sort, I would think. And then there are the misdemeanors punishable by up to 93 days in jail. 93 days, and that apparently is a magic number, and I think that's the thinking was that originally was 3 months. But of course, 3 months could never be 93 days, at least not in a row. But misdemeanors punishable by up to 93 days in jail can be charged under state law or local laws, and some are crimes under both. Under state law, a person convicted of this misdemeanor can be sentenced to jail time or fined up to $500 or both. Examples of 93-day misdemeanors include assault and battery, disturbing the peace, and embezzlement of property or money valued at less than $200. And that's the crazy thing, you know. If somebody steals or embezzles some money, it's $201. It's one crime. $199, it's a totally different crime. But you understand they've got to have those lines somewhere. So they draw the line, and that can be how it works out. Now, I have to tell you that in the grand scheme of things, felonies, misdemeanors, and civil infractions, if you had a choice, you'd rather have a misdemeanor than a felony, right? So that's a lot of times what will happen when people are plea bargaining is they might say, look, Mike, I'll plead guilty if you reduce the charge from felony to misdemeanor. Excuse me. And one of the things that I have to break the news to people on once in a while is that there are driving infractions that are misdemeanors. And so if you get busted for drag racing or reckless driving, those are both, first of all, very, very severe with respect to the points they'll give you, okay? But they're also bad in that they're crimes. They're actually misdemeanors. And so I've had people call me and say, Steve, I got a ticket at the Woodward Dream Cruise. And I said, what'd you get? And they go, I got a ticket for drag racing. And I said, I know they hand you a thing that looks like a ticket, but you understand it's a misdemeanor? And they almost always say, you're kidding me. And I said, no, look up at the top of the ticket. There's a little box that says CI or MISD. CI is civil infraction. MISD is misdemeanor. Which box is checked? And they go, oh, misdemeanor. And I said, yeah, that's a misdemeanor. And several other driving offenses can be crimes also, especially involving alcohol. So if you're charged with a civil infraction, it's better for you than if you're charged with a misdemeanor, right? Because a misdemeanor is a crime. Okay, so you go to apply for a job someplace. Ever been convicted of a felony or misdemeanor? Yes. What was it? Drag racing. It's not funny when it's on your job application. You have to disclose that. So the goal is, if you get charged with one of those, which is a misdemeanor, your goal is to get it moved down to be a civil infraction. And the way you do that is you ask the prosecutor very nicely, will you knock this to a careless driving, for instance? Careless driving is just a civil infraction. But in case you're curious, traffic and non-traffic civil infractions, this is very, very general. A traffic civil infraction case begins when a law enforcement officer issues a uniform law citation claiming that you have violated the Michigan Vehicle Code or a local ordinance that is similar to the Michigan Vehicle Code for an offense for which the penalty does not include jail. The law enforcement officer is considered the complainant and is issuing the ticket for the plaintiff, which is either the state of Michigan or the city or the county or whatever. The plaintiff is either what I just told you. I'm getting ahead of myself. If you receive a ticket, you are considered the offender, not the defendant. Or I guess it says that you could be the defendant too, but quite often you're just the offender. A non-traffic civil infraction begins when a law enforcement officer issues a uniform law citation claiming you have violated a state civil infraction law or municipal civil infraction law for which the penalty does not include a jail sentence. The law enforcement officer is considered the complainant as issuing a ticket for the plaintiff. The plaintiff is either the state of Michigan or a city, village, township, or a local government. If you receive a ticket, you are considered the offender. Other authorized persons may also issue non-traffic civil infraction tickets. You might go, Steve, what's a non-traffic civil infraction? I suspect if you left your garbage cans out for too long, some cities have got an ordinance against that, and they might issue you a civil infraction for same. And then the traffic civil infractions, most commonly are speeding, careless driving, defective equipment, failure to wear a safety belt, failure to yield the right of way, disobeying traffic control devices, and so on. And then, here we go. failure to carry or display your concealed weapons permit while carrying a concealed weapon, violation of city, village, or township ordinances regulating the disposal of refuse and yard waste, building codes and permits, and excessive noise can all be non-traffic civil infractions. So if you have received a ticket, it is important to read both sides. The ticket will state your rights and will tell you what you need to do to respond to the ticket, including how and where to appear. You can dispute the ticket in a court hearing. You request a hearing, follow the directions on the back of the ticket, and you go that route. And as I always tell people, you can handle those on your own if you're relatively well-spoken and you can take good advice. You can often do the research yourself and figure out how to handle a ticket on your own, although I recommend you get an attorney, but hey, that's just me. But that's the point, is that on a civil infraction, you're not facing any jail time. So theoretically, you can mail it in. You can actually just plead responsible to it, and you mail it in. You're not pleading guilty because it's not a crime. But the other important thing to keep in mind with the distinction about felonies, misdemeanors, and civil infractions is that if you're charged with a felony, it's very, very serious. You can go to prison for over a year. Okay? All of your Bill of Rights are going to kick in. Your rights against self-incrimination, right to a full jury trial, right to counsel, and all that, and burden of proof. And likewise with the misdemeanor. But the interesting thing is a civil infraction, there's a huge, huge distinction, and that is that at the civil infraction level, since you're not facing any jail time, you don't get a jury, and a lot of the other rules don't apply. And one of them is that the burden of proof changes, so that to win a case on its merits involving a civil infraction, you've got to prove the judge that you're more likely than not correct. But the police officer or the people only have to prove that they're more likely than not correct. It's literally just tip the balance. Whose favor does it tip in? And they don't have to prove you guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. They just have to prove you're responsible more than 50%. And that's the burden of proof I tell people is almost impossible to win. Almost impossible. I've seen a few people win it, but it's almost impossible because the judge is literally looking at you and looking at the police officer and going, I just met you today. I don't know. Police officers in front of me all the time, professional witness, and probably telling the truth. Is that the proper train of thought? I don't think so. But that's how many judges think. So if you get into that situation, you're probably going to lose, which is why I suggest that you do what you can to work out a deal. So felonies at the top, misdemeanors below them, civil infractions below that. Questions or comments, as always, fire them to me. And by the way, I have people ask me all the time, they say, Steve, I couldn't find your email. All of my contact information is in the credits for the videos. Okay? Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.